back to another Dynasty Team preview here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and as always, joined by Koopa. And on this episode, we are going to go over the Kansas City Chiefs. So, obviously, head coach Andy Reid, offensive coordinator Matt Nagy. Some of the key players who left this year, obviously Jerick McKinnon still hasn't re-signed. Tackle Donovan Smith, who was our left tackle last year, he hasn't re-signed with anybody yet. Wide receiver MVS, they ended up cutting as well this offseason. I could see them maybe bringing back Donovan Smith. We can kind of talk about that when we get to the offensive line. So that is still a possibility for them. Some targets and vacated air yards. So they're losing 118 targets and 1,024 air yards. So, yeah, losing quite a bit there. Let's go with the quarterbacks, though. Go ahead and start us off at the quarterbacks there, Koopa.
You got Patrick Mahomes. Like, nothing much more needs to be said. His PFF grade, 90.5. He was second. Second on one season, but I think that he's realistically probably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. So really the things to talk about are the backups. So they've got Carson Wentz, who they just signed and brought in. I think this is an awesome place if you're trying to stash somebody. Like, all it takes is for Patrick Mahomes to get hurt and miss a couple games, and then you have Carson Wentz at the helm of this offense with the minds behind it and just how successful it is. Like, Carson Wentz is in my mind one of the top tier backup quarterbacks in the NFL for fantasy purposes. Their other options are Chris Oladokun and Ian Book. We saw Ian Book a few years ago on the Saints. I don't think that he's really a factor, and I don't really know anything about Oladokun, so that makes me think that Carson Wentz is pretty solidified as the backup. They kept two quarterbacks on the 2023 initial roster. I think that it's Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz, and do the same thing in 2024. If they like one of the other guys enough to keep him around as a third quarterback, they might, but with how not injury prone Patrick Mahomes has been, I could see them easily saying, hey, we just like these two guys. We'll roll with two quarterbacks, maybe sign one of the guys to the practice squad if needed.
Yeah, that's what they usually do. They'll throw the third quarterback there on the practice squad. That's what they did with Oladokun last year. And they had Blaine Gabbert as the backup. So they upgraded a little bit there with Carson Wentz. So, yeah, I agree with you. They're probably just going to keep Mahomes and Wentz, and then whoever wins the third job will be on the practice squad. Running back, so Isaiah Pacheco is the starter here. PFF grade last year of 79.9, 11th of 59. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the backup. They re-signed him for a year or two. PFF grade of 65.5, 49th to 59th last year, so not very good there from CEH. Denarik Prince is still there. He is a 2023 UDFA. Keontae Ingram, who they brought over from the Cardinals via waivers at the end of the year last year. Luis Rhys-Zamet, the rugby player that they brought over this offseason. Hassan Hall, 2023 UDFA from the Browns. He never really picked up anywhere, picked up here with the Chiefs. Amani Bailey, a 2024 UDFA from TCU. And Carson Steele, a 2024 UDFA out of UCLA. Honestly, if I had to pick somebody behind Pacheco and CEH, my favorites were Amani Bailey, the UDFA out of TCU this year. I think he's a really explosive player, really good for like a zone kind of scheme running. So I've really liked him. Keontae Ingram, I liked last year a lot too, coming into the draft. So I thought that was somebody that has some talent. And Denarik Prince last year, you know, a lot of people liked him. He never really got on the field, so I think he's got a chance too. So I really think this, like, third and fourth running back job is going to be wide open. But I also wouldn't put it out if they just re-signed Jerick McKinnon and roll with the same three that they had last year as well, if none of these guys really steps it up. So what are your thoughts here on the running backs, Koopa?
Yeah, Isaiah Pacheco, obviously the best guy in this room. He's also running back 11 for fantasy projection, so he's obviously somebody that you want to fill that running back spot in your lineup. CEH, I think, is probably a good back that you want as a backup, but I kind of have some worry that even that if Pacheco goes down, that CEH is not going to get that full workload, that they'll end up doing a little bit more of a committee behind him. And that just kind of goes off of the idea of like a CEH in terms of what we expected him to do in previous years. He's kind of we thought he was going to do really well his first couple of years, and then he's just slowly faded into the background and just kind of hung out on the back end of this Chiefs roster. I don't think they necessarily trust him to shoulder that full workload if they need to. Denarit Prince also worries me. And this is kind of getting into a little bit of the kick returner things, but last season he was named the kick returner at the start of training camp. And by the time we reached the season, he was no longer the kick returner. And in my mind, if you're going to hang on as a third running back, you should be able to win the kick return job. So I have a little bit of worry that he's not as good as we think he is, or as the community thought he was last year. And that it's going to be a nothing burger this year as well, and he'll get overtaken by one of the Amani Baileys, the Keyonta Ingrams, the Carson Steeles, one of those guys that's coming to the team. Luis Riz-Zamit is one of those players that it hits my heart personally because I love the guys that didn't play football coming in and playing football that are just athletes. I have always said I'm a big fan of quarterbacks transitioning to tight end, and rugby players to the NFL interest me in that same way. But realistically, I think that you should not be rostering him. And a lot of people are saying, oh, roster him, put him on your taxi squad. I think you're going to put him on your taxi squad. You aren't going to see him for a year. You're going to cut him. And then you're going to potentially in 2 years from now, you'll be like, oh, that remember that Luis Riz-Zamit guy? Like, now he actually made the team. I guess I should pick him up. So I think that is realistically the ceiling for him. I don't think you see him at all this year. And so as a result, I would rather use that taxi squad spot on somebody that has a closer path to success rather than investing it into somebody that I don't really I see there being a good amount of learning time first.
Yeah, do you think there's a probably a pretty decent possibility they just re-signed Jerick McKinnon too?
There's the possibility. Jerick McKinnon has the problem is Jerick McKinnon has not really been a large part of this team for like 3 or 4 years now. So it was 2 years ago he played, I think it was week 16, 17, 18, and like the first round of the playoffs or something. And he won a ton of people fantasy championships. The week at the year after he played literally just week 16 and 17, won a ton of people fantasy championships. Last year he didn't, he barely played at all. I think that he's, if he's fine coming in and barely playing again, then sure. But I realistically think he's kind of out of it. He's on his way out of the NFL at this point. I mean, he's like 33 years old or something like that, and he's a running back. Like I could see him more likely if this running back room gets hit with injuries during the season that they would sign him like mid-season to come back onto the team or something like that than necessarily being signed before week one.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that too. On to their wide receiver core now. So Rashee Rice is their top guy right now. PFF grade last year of 84.9, 14th of 128. Really, really good rookie season from him. I'm guessing he's probably going to be suspended here at some point this offseason. We don't have that information quite yet, but I would expect a little bit of a suspension this year for Rashee Rice. Hollywood Brown, they brought in as well. His PFF grade last year was 67.1, which was 67th of 128. Xavier Worthy, who they drafted in the first round. Sky Moore, still here. His PFF grade last year was 54.8, 108th of 128 qualified wide receivers. Justin Watson, who started a lot of games for them last year. His PFF grade was 61.7, 80th of 128. Still have Kadarius Toney, still have Justin Ross. Cornell Powell is still there from a UDFA from like, or actually a draft pick from, God, he's like 4 or 5 years ago now. I'd never seen the field. Montrell Washington, who they picked up, I believe, from the Broncos. Nico Romigo is there. Jerron Hayek, a UDFA from Villanova this year. And Phillip Brooks, a UDFA from Kansas State. They ended up keeping 7 wide receivers on their initial 2023 roster last year. I think it'll be a little bit less than that this year. I think they're probably going to have to put Rashee Rice on there. Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy. I'm Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. So there's your 5. Justin Watson will probably make it for 6, and I don't know if somebody else is going to make it. So I'm going to go with 6 this year for them. What are you thinking on the wide receivers here, Koopa?
So I want to talk about Rashee Rice here just really quick. So his court date just got set for the trial to begin December 9th. Recently, we've seen the NFL kind of reluctant to suspend players while they still have court things being carried out. And so I could potentially see him avoiding a suspension this year, especially if all they need to do is push that December court date back like another 2 months and then it's past the season, basically. So I could see him playing every single game this year and not seeing any consequences until the 2025 season, just because the NFL wants to see that fully play out.
Gotcha. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so then Hollywood Brown, I really like that signing along with the drafting of Xavier Worthy. Like, all the talk was, especially before the season last year, of like, oh, the Chiefs have no wide receivers. They don't have anyone to throw to. I feel like they have a ton of people to throw to now. The fact that Justin Watson is not going out there, it's like the number 2 wide receiver on a ton of plays, like, definitely shows that he's now basically the number 5 guy. So I am excited to see how many of these wide receivers Patrick Mahomes supports. We saw last year they leaned on the run a lot, and I could see them doing that again this year just because Pacheco is good enough for them to do that. And that could end up hampering some of the fantasy results out of the Rashee Rice, the Hollywood Brown, and the Xavier Worthy. And right now they're all ranked as Rashee Rice is wide receiver 35, Hollywood wide receiver 36, and Xavier Worthy wide receiver 43. That would put all three of them at either high end flex guys or fringe wide receiver 3. I think that's realistically all you can say for right now until you see what this target distribution looks like from Patrick Mahomes and how these guys look with him. We also know Patrick Mahomes has shown that he can spread the ball around a bunch, and maybe he just spreads it around and nobody actually takes over as a full number one wide receiver that gets that wide receiver 1 target share. But talking about the room as a whole, I think Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Sky Moore, Justin Watson are locks to me. I don't think Kadarius Toney is necessarily a lock, but I do think that he's hits the bar just enough the Chiefs are going to keep him on the team. And then probably everyone else ends up missing it unless somebody really shows out in camp and maybe unseats that Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I would think, get Kadarius Toney out there for the return game this year. I think that's probably where he could excel really, really good. So maybe they'll get him into that. Let's take a look at Xavier Worthy here real quick. So overall, Worthy doesn't have ideal size, toughness, or play strength, but his dynamic speed and playmaking instincts make him a threat as both a wide receiver and return man. He doesn't have the body of work of a DeSean Jackson, but he teases similar flashes. So he had a 68.9 PFF grade last year, 75 catches on 119 targets, 1,014 yards, and only 5 touchdowns. He played on 491 pass snaps last year, 196 came from the slot, 294 out wide. So he can kind of just play wherever. 66.4 was his man coverage grade. Not that great. I want to see that go up a little bit. 5 drops. He's got to clean that up. 7.6 was his yak, which was tied for 42nd. That's great. 10.3 ADOT was his average depth of target, tied 321st. 6 catches for 234 yards on deep balls. 29 catches for 434 out of the slot. So I am looking forward to that. I think he just needs to get a little bit stronger to beat press coverage as well, because some of these bigger corners and stronger corners are just going to eat him up. But it's the Chiefs. They get these guys moving in all kinds of different ways. They're going to isolate Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy quite a bit to get these guys space to move around, just like they did with Tyreek Hill. So I'm not like too concerned about it, but I would like to see him improve on it. Tight end. So Travis Kelce is still there. PFF grade last year of 82.6, which was second of 72. Noah Gray, PFF grade last year of 62.9, 30th of 72. Jared Wiley, who they drafted in the fourth round, who I really, really like from TCU. Irv Smith Jr., they picked up this offseason. Garrett Prince, who was a guy in training camp last year for Jacksonville that was doing really good. He didn't make Jacksonville's roster, but Kansas City picked him up, and he kind of just sat on the practice squad all year. But a really talented player. And Baylor Cup as well, UDFA out of Texas Tech. I believe that is the brother of Cooper Cup, I believe. Kept three tight ends on their initial 2023 roster last year. I'm thinking it's going to probably just be the same this year. Kelce, Gray, Jared Wiley, I think, is going to be the three. I don't think Irv Smith makes the team. They only signed him for a cheap one-year deal. I think they kind of just kicking the tires on him to see what he's got, but I don't see him making the team. What about you on the tight ends, Koopa?
Yeah, so Travis Kelce, obviously he's Travis Kelce, tight end number two. Both in terms of his PFF grade from last year and for projections for this coming year. So obviously he's a difference maker at the tight end position. Also right now he's like on Keep Trade Cut, he's listed as tight end number eight. I think that is way too low for the tight end two in terms of what we're projecting for this upcoming season. I think that he should be much higher up. I personally rank him all the way up at my tight end four. I just think that there's a lot of worry that he's going to retire and sail off into the sunset with Taylor Swift. We saw him just sign a new 3-year contract. I think that he's realistically probably playing out most of that. And I think from what I've seen from him, he has some desire to try and beat Tony Gonzalez's receiving yards record, like in the back of his mind. And he's slightly less than 4,000 yards away from that. So if he stays on pace for 4 years, he would make that. And so I could see him trying to stick around to try and beat that record. And so if you're going to be able to get 4 years of tight end two production, like, you absolutely would be taking that, well over a lot of the other guys that are higher than him in terms of those dynasty tight end rankings. Noah Gray, anytime he's been needed to perform a role for the Chiefs, he's done a good job at it. He's not going to be needed as much on a receiving role this year as he was last year. Last year, he was a nice guy for your best ball, like high tight end premium leagues. But this year, I don't think he's going to be. And Jared Wiley even might eat into some of that as well, as he shows on during the course of the season. I hate Irv Smith Jr. He's bitten me in the butt so many times. Yep. So I am... I have had people try and sell him to me for literally anything. Like, I've even had somebody send him to me for like $3 a fab, and I still declined it. Like, he's not worth that to me. If I have him hanging out on any teams, it's because I just haven't bothered to drop him yet. He's not somebody I'm interested in, and realistically, everyone else is probably practice squad fodder anyway. If any of them make the team, okay, I might look at just keeping them on the radar. But outside of Travis Kelce, you don't really need to have any of these guys, especially if you're in a lineup league. You don't need any of the guys outside of Kelce.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was a big Irv Smith Jr. fan as well. He's bit me ever since he came into the league, so I agree with you on that. Some quick highlights here on Jared Wiley, though. Overall, Wiley is more of a post-up target than a tight end who will consistently create space for himself, but he is a good-sized athlete with blocking toughness and ball skills. He projects as a rotational wide tight end who can gradually work his way to the top spot on the depth chart. So he had a 68 PFF grade last year, 47 catches on 65 targets, 520 yards, 8 touchdowns, 373 pass snaps, 202 were in line, 121 in the slot. So he's definitely very versatile. 74.8 was his receiving grade. He only had one drop, 6.4 yak, which was 51st in the country, and he had 3 deep catches for 137 yards. So let's go ahead now. We're going to switch over to the offensive line here. So last year, they ranked 18th, which is not very good for a Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. But they did get it together there towards the end and really come on. Joe Tooney was their best player last year. Tooney was once again the highest graded pass blocking guard in the NFL at 83.4. He has earned a 90.6 pass blocking grade across his 3 seasons in Kansas City, which leads all guards over that 3-year span. So really good player there. So let's take a look at their left tackle situation right now. So right now listed is Wayne Morris, a 2023 third round pick, and they also drafted Kingsley Suamatia from BYU, a 2024 second round pick. We did mention earlier Donovan Smith is still a free agent, so if these guys kind of struggle to pass protect and do what they need to do early on here in training camp, I wouldn't be surprised if they would bring back Donovan Smith for another season. But some highlights here on Suamatia. Overall, he is still very young and lacks refinement in several areas, but his blend of size, mobility, and core power are the foundation of a scheme diverse NFL starter. He will require a patient coaching staff who can ease his transition to the pro level. Left guard is Joe Tooney. PFF grade last year was 74.9, 8th of out of 79. His backup is Mike Calanendo. Center, Creed Humphrey, PFF grade last year of 81.4, which was 4th of 36, so that was nice to see. They drafted his backup this year, Hunter Nozad, from Penn State, his 2024 fifth round pick. Some highlights on him. Overall, Norzad might be this year's Tyler Bateish, as he lacks overwhelming strength of elite athleticism, but maximizes what he has with smarts, physicality, and well-schooled technique. He has center guard experience and should compete for a starting reps as early as his rookie season. So to get a guy that Brugler seemed to be pretty high on in the fifth round, good value. Right guard Trey Smith, his PFF grade was 74.6, 10th of 79 at guard. His backup is CJ Hansen, a 2024 seventh round pick this year. Some just quick highlights on him. Overall, Hansen has functional movements and really focuses on the fundamental details of the position, but he will need to get stronger to outlast defenders in the NFL. He projects as a potential reserve on the interior. And then right tackle they brought in last year was Juwan Taylor from Jacksonville. His PFF grade last year was 49.8, 76 out of 81 tackles. So they need him to really step up and get better there. His backup is Lucas Niang. Kick returners and punt returners, go ahead with those, Koopa.
Yeah, so currently our lads list Denarik Prince as the kick returner. Frankly, I don't have any idea who the kick returner is going to be for the Chiefs. The guy that they had last year was Richie James. I don't think that Richie James is good enough to win a roster spot back. He is technically a free agent, but I don't think with the upgrades they've made to the receiver room that they can really afford to have him as a roster spot unless they sign him specifically to be a return specialist. But the fact is he didn't... He wasn't the best of punt returners, and they got Xavier Worthy, who is a good punt returner, so they don't need him for that. They just need to find somebody who is able to do the kick return job. And I think it's going to be a toss-up going into camp and probably throughout it in terms of there might be somebody that's the thing that makes or break who's the running back three. If Denarik Prince looks good, then maybe he can sneak in that running back three spot. Or it'll be whoever fits in as that wide receiver six. If Kadarius Toney's able to do it, then maybe he's the guy that is going to get the kick return job, and that's how he'll continue to make the team. So this is one of those spots where you can look at it in terms of, hey, this might be a camp battle sort of thing. But none of these guys are going to have that dual threat as a kick returner and a player on the offense. unless for some reason like Xavier Worthy ends up being the kick returner. But realistically, I don't think teams like to take their top offensive players and also stick them back there on kick returns. Punt returns, you've seen that happen in the past. The main one that I'm thinking of is Antonio Brown used to do that. And so Xavier Worthy being a punt returner makes sense to me, especially with how much he did it in college, and he was pretty good at it in college. So I would say just you can look out for the kick returners, but unless you've got huge kick return points, like you don't really need to pay attention to it that much outside of like if it's somebody that you actually know who they are that's taking over that job.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned Tony as well. I know he returned some punts in college, so I think that's another guy, especially if they're not going to be using him on offense, might as well use him to do something. So, our final thoughts here on Kansas City. So, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is going to be a top three quarterback in most drafts. So, draft accordingly. Running backs, I think Pacheco is set up for a monster season. There is literally nobody behind him. So, as long as Pacheco's healthy, I don't see a spot where he's not in the top 10 this year for running backs. I think he's set up really, really well. That's a guy I definitely want in my redraft leagues, best ball, redraft leagues, underdog, stuff like that. I definitely want some Pacheco this year. And then wide receivers, they've kind of talked about they're going to go back to their kind of explosive offense that they've had in the past with Tyreek and Sammy Watkins when he was there. Worthy and Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, if he is available all season long. I mean, this is a really, really good wide receiver core that Patrick Mahomes has this year. So I think it's going to look a little bit different for them. Should have some home run balls again to Worthy and Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice working the underneath stuff. Obviously, Travis Kelce. I'm not worried about him retiring. Obviously, he just signed that new deal, like you mentioned. He's going to be a top three at worst tight end in fantasy and probably honestly the overall number one tight end again, so I wouldn't be shocked at that. But yeah, what are you thinking about the Chiefs?
I think that they're a team poised to just absolutely dominate the offensive side of the ball. They made all the upgrades to the receiving game that they need to make, and they're returning that same running game from last year. So the only thing that makes me slightly concerned is the fact that, hey, that running game was so good last year, they were able to lean on it and it got them to win a Super Bowl. So, do I think that they maybe lean on it a little more than you're thinking of back in the Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, like those high powered passing offensive days? I think so. But this offense still did really good from a passing perspective last year when I'm saying, hey, they leaned on the running game a ton. So I think that it in general, you probably just want all the guys on this team. Just you want to invest in all those main three wide receivers. You want to invest in Pacheco. You want to invest in Mahomes. You want to invest in Kelce because they're all going to do well unless something horrible befalls this team.
Yeah, I mean I could see that as well. I was just kind of looking up Pacheco's stats from last year real quick. He had 205 carries, 935 yards, 7 touchdowns, 44 catches, 244 yards. I could see the receiving maybe coming down a little bit, especially with their more weapons they have this year, but I could see the yards staying the same. But I think this could be his first 1,000-yard season pretty easily, especially with nobody behind him. So I'm expecting Pacheco to have a big year. But let's go ahead. We'll end this one. We're going to go to the Las Vegas Raiders next. So we'll see you guys for that one.